Hello again. It's Pastor Bob, and it's a Tuesday, September 21st, in our daily respite series. And we're glad to have you with us today. We are continuing our daily devotions with Father Richard Rohr from his Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're broadcasting from St. Philip Drive in Lexington, KY. And as you know, if you've been listening well, our theme this week from Father Richard is about money. Specifically, the power of money. And that's our topic for today. And before we begin our devotion, just a couple announcements. One is just a general one. We still plan to do our Zoom discussion group tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central. All systems are go for that. And more importantly, regarding this devotion today, Richard Rohr is a man that has clarity and depth in some areas of spirituality that many of us are farther behind in. And one of those areas for him is this notion of sin. So really pay attention to how Father Richard speaks of sin here. And he'll mention that we used to think of sin as bad behavior, bad person, you know, bad this and bad that, breaking a law, breaking a commandment. And the danger of that, well, there's a great danger of that, but most importantly, of course, is to think that, you know, it's everybody else but me. And in fact, what we do is we live in a fallen world. And can we accept that? That this world is fallen. And that's it. It's got sin embedded in it. And that the systems and processes and institutions of this world have sin built within them because we built them. And the real issue of sin then becomes, how do we rescue people from the systemic sin that is all around us? How does Jesus save us from that? So that's a little prelude to our devotion today. Don't let that distract you. The power of money. In 2019, Richard Rohr wrote a short book, and it was titled, What Do We Do With Evil? What Do We Do With Evil? In it, he explored the Apostle Paul's teachings on what Paul called the world, the flesh, and the devil. Right? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And he explored this to clarify that often invisible, systemic, and hidden nature of evil, including systems of money. Let's hear today's devotion. For most of history, we believe that evil was almost exclusively the result of quote-unquote bad people, and that it was our job to make them into good people. We thought this alone would change the world. And sometimes it worked. Yet, only in the 20th century did popes and many moral theologians begin to teach about corporate sin, institutionalized evil, systemic violence, and structural racism. These very few words are new to most people, especially ones who benefit from such illusions. So stop right there for a minute, and if you think those words don't connect with you or even make you cringe a little, perhaps turn you off. Words like corporate sin, institutionalized evil, systemic violence, and structural racism. If you are confused or bothered by those terms, it may be because you benefit from such illusions. And I know that's true with me, that Richard Rohr has helped open my eyes and my heart to the benefits that I receive as a white male in this white patriarchal society we live in. Richard Rohr goes on. He says, I believe personal evil is committed rather freely because it is derived from and legitimated by our underlying unspoken agreement that certain evils are necessary for the common good. Certain evils are necessary for the common good. Let's call this systemic evil. However, if we want to be honest, this leaves us very conflicted. We call war good and necessary, but murder bad. National pride or corporate pride is expected, but personal vanity is bad. Capitalism is rewarded, but personal gluttony or greed is bad, or at least it used to be. Lying and cover-ups are considered acceptable to protect powerful systems. Well, like what? What institutions in our society today would be susceptible to lying and cover-up to protect themselves? Well, let's name a few. The church would be at the top of that list. Political groups like parties would be right up there. How about government itself? Yeah, lying and cover-ups are okay here, but individuals should never tell a lie, right? These are the conflicts we face as we confront systemic evil and sin. Father Richard goes on, "Thus we now find ourselves unable to recognize or defeat the tyranny of evil at the most invisible, institutionalized, and entrenched level. Evil at this stage has become not only pleasing to us, but idealized, romanticized, and even, quote, too big to fail, unquote. This is what I call the devil. And Paul calls the thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. That's what he said in Colossians. Or in Ephesians, he called them spirits of the air. These were his pre-modern words for corporations, institutions, nation states, anything that is deemed above criticism and hidden in the spirit of the age will in time, usually in rather short time, always become demonic. As regards money and evil, money's meaning and use is highly obfuscated by small print and obscure vocabularies, which only highly trained economists can understand. Here's some of the terms when you get into money in our culture you're going to run into. Annuities. Interest. Remember, it used to be called usury, and it was a major sin in the Bible. Interest. Non-fiduciary. Reverse mortgages. And more. Yes, the devil is in the details. The ordinary person is left at the mercy of these new clerics, we can call them, who alone understand how we can be, quote-unquote, saved by the infallible laws of the market and the bottom line of everything. They use the language of religion and transcendence to speak with a kind of assumed objectivity that we once only allowed in the realm of theology and from the pulpit. Letting the domination systems of the world off the hook, we put almost all our moral concern on greedy or ambitious individuals. We tried to change them without recognizing that each isolated individual was on bended knee before the powers and principalities of the market. In most nations today, our moral compass has been thrown off its foundations. Let us pray. Loving God, you fill all things with a fullness and hope that we can never comprehend. Thank you for leading us into a time where more of reality is being unveiled for us all to see. We pray that you will take away our natural temptation for cynicism, denial, fear, and despair. Help us to have the courage to awaken to greater truth, greater humility, and greater care for one another. May we place our hope in what matters and what lasts, trusting in your eternal presence and love. And now, God, listen to our own heart's longings for the healing of our suffering world. Knowing, good God, you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer these prayers in all the holy names of God. Amen.